This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stockingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Cheers.
Cheers.
My battery is running flat, so there used to be a little thing here to plug in my phone.
Yeah, there is. Here. What have you got, iPhone?
Yeah.
There you go. I've got a cable for you.
Oh, lovely. I do love a cable.
There you go. I'm going to fry it.
Yeah. Whoops. Catch.
Right. You were talking about Four Eyes and Puritas UK just before the break.
Yeah.
Justin Dean of Creative Motion has tweeted, we did the audio-visual setup for that Four Eyes Puritas event, Jill Serkin. It was a very emotional day for the MD.
I can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's a small world, isn't it, Justin Dean?
Mm.
Do you remember when you videoed me and Paul Andrews? Well, you were videoing me, actually, at a book launch event.
That was at Miriam's book, Miriam McGurk's book launching event, Tales from Turkey.
You muscled in.
No, I didn't.
You did?
No, I didn't.
And you were wearing a Rupert Bear sort of gear.
I had a scarf on.
Yeah, Rupert Bear it was. Mm. Where, do I have to plug that in over there?
Yeah, it's a USB thing.
Carry on talking while I do that.
Okay, we'll talk amongst ourselves while you do that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about this. Gillingham Football Club, they have a Night of Legends dinner. The Great Hall at Priestfield presents a Night of Legends on November the 17th, 2022. Dine with your favourite invited Gillingham legends. She can't work anything, this woman. We just press it and it pops up.
Yeah, but not very high.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Obviously, it hasn't been used for a long time. Look, Roland's looking. I don't want to break it. it's come up.
Well done. She made it pop up eventually.
Obviously, it hasn't been used for a long time.
Yeah, anyway, the Legends dinner at Gillingham Football Club, November the 17th. It's £60 a person. If you're a season ticket holder at Gillingham, it's £55. To book, if you email sales@priestfield.com. That's a Night of Legends dinner, November the 17th. Right, are you happy now? Are you plugged in?
Yeah, it's all mod comms.
Is it charging? Has it gone green?
Not yet. No, it's on red.
No. Is it charging?
I don't think so, because it didn't click. It didn't do a little boop.
So it goes green when it's charging.
It's not then. I'll wiggle it about. You carry on chatting.
Oh, for goodness sake.
You can't get the star.
You can't. You certainly can't. I charge it this side, but then you can't look at your phone, can you?
No. Let's try this side.
What are you trying to do?
I'm doing it another side.
Oh.
So does that bit go green?
I don't know. How much charge you got left on your phone?
Nothing. Red. And I can't get a new one till March.
You don't need a new phone. You just need to charge the one you've got.
I charge it every day.
Is it not charging?
Well, I don't know. It's on red.
It goes green if it's charging.
It's red.
Right, so it's not charging. Bring it round here and I'll charge it this side.
Pass it over, Roland.
Well, I need the cable as well, you silly person.
Oh, I thought you had a plethora of cables.
Thank you.
She's
a nightmare.
You know,
she's an absolute nightmare,
show,
listener.
Here. Huh? 600 show. Mm. And Wayne Cunnington was asking why we weren't having a party.
Where?
I pointed out that I was.
Where?
Chin.
A party for what?
For us.
What kind of party?
600.
Well, just me and you?
Yeah, 600. That's fine. You know, we order a bottle of champagne, I swig it, your teetotal works for me. Roland's nodding, he'll come.
She's already knocked back a margarita today, a half-pint margarita.
It's delicious, yeah. Listen, there's a Kent and Medway Business Summit. Mm. It's Friday the 13th of January, which is 2023. I can't bear to think about Christmas and things. This year's gone very quickly, hasn't it?
Certainly has.
And October, flying by, isn't it, Roland?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's
almost
bonkers.
Yeah. You won't know this because I've got your phone now.
Yeah, I hope nobody's talking about you.
No, well, Wayne Cunnington's just said cake.
Oh, yeah, cake. Yeah. Hopefully he hasn't said, how do you put up with that man?
Do you know you've got 86 SMS text messages unread?
Can you read them for me later?
Well, all of them.
Yeah. Honestly.
You are useless, aren't you?
No, I really don't. You know, I'm the kind of person that I just don't want to be on a computer all the time. Somebody
she's got 75 unanswered phone calls, Roland. She's got 86. Hold on, I'll get into that. Oh, she's got 86. Wayne's gone, ha ha ha. Yeah, she's got 86 SMS messages unread. Where's her emails?
Oh, don't look at the emails. Somebody said they'd email the other day, and I said, would you mind WhatsApping me? Because if someone emails me, they have to let me know they've emailed me.
She's got 160 YouTube notifications, right?
She's having great fun.
I can't find her emails.
Yeah, well, too
many. I think they've peaked out. No.
He's scrolling.
Yeah, I can't find her emails.
I could get him on the... Can't I get him on the data protection there?
Probably, yeah. Yes. Scrolling through your phone.
I hardly know him.
GDPR infringement. Yeah,
I hardly know him. Emails. Oh, there's a lot of email. Emails are down the bottom.
Yeah, but you haven't got emails on this phone.
Oh, well, Billy Dean's got to sort it out. My Google Mail's completely...
That's why. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why you haven't got emails on that phone, because it couldn't take them. The last time I looked at your emails, you had 36,000 unread emails.
Yeah.
There's not enough room on any iPhone ever invented by Apple to have that many.
Well, where would you start?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You can understand why I'm not reading.
Well, you could start by answering some of them.
Oh, no. Because, you know, like yesterday, I had a plan. I had to sort out some conferences and things. So I did that in the morning when it was raining. Lovely. Then by about 1 o'clock, the sun came out and I found myself much more interested. We've dug a pond, a really big pond, and I ordered some Cornish slate. And so I was lugging all that in. It was very heavy Cornish slate. My new husband didn't know it was coming because he wanted to do it all with Whitstable pebbles. I decided Cornish slate. So I was it was that big, Roland, and I had to lug it all in on my own. So, you know, there's no time. Then you have to cook, don't you, and things. Venison pie, I did, the weekend.
So, yeah, I think you're probably better off just deleting them all, starting again. Yeah. Really, just it's lost. That inbox is gone.
I am at the stage now where if somebody emails me, I feel glum because where to start. Anyway.
Nurse Liz has just messaged you as well.
You're like my PA now.
Yeah.
I might as well just leave the phone with you and you sort it.
Exactly. I'd have much better chance. Anyway, Nurse Liz says she forgot to set her alarm. Nurse Liz is based in...
She hasn't just woken up, has she?
Yeah. She's on the east coast of America, so it's early, yeah. And she forgot to set her alarm for the start of the show.
Well, while you've got my phone, you can just retweet it and all that, because the other people are going to feel neglected if I'm not retweeting. Is it charging that side then?
It is charging. Yeah.
So why didn't it charge this side?
I don't know. What you and buttons, I don't know. I don't know what you did. Is there a red light on that charger? That's the thing. Well, it should charge. Yeah. I don't know why it wasn't.
It took me an hour to lift the thing up. Yeah. Wayne said there's a lot of references to knobs on this show, he's noticed.
There normally is. There's a lot of knobs in the studio.
He said...
And we're not talking about the guests.
He said, ooh, matron. The Kent and Medway Business Summit. So it's Friday. I was started to read this ages ago. Friday, 13th of January, 2023, in the award-winning Sibson Building on the Canterbury campus of the University of Kent. I don't know why, I just love the word campus.
Brilliant.
I've always loved the word campus. I never knew what a campus was until our youngest, Che, went to uni, and then I learned about campuses.
I like serendipity.
Yeah, that's a good word. But I think I like campus because it's not actually English, it's American, isn't it? I think it gradually came in. What do we used to call it in English before campuses came
up? It's always been a campus, as far as I know.
I heard a radio presenter today. I was listening to Gold coming in because I'm that kind of age. And he said Gotten. And he was
don't
English.
Do that.
I was furious. I had to change channels. Because it's fine if Nurse Liz says Gotten because she's American, but English presenters shouldn't say Gotten.
Colonials are allowed to say that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. And Tooken.
Tooken.
She said you could.
No, Tooken's a big bird, like a parrot, isn't it? With a big, they used to use them in Guinness adverts. That's a Tooken, isn't it?
Yeah, that little striped beak.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit like a tiger nut, really.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyways, I was saying, Kent and Medway...
Come on, get on with it. I want to talk to Roland.
Friday 13th of January 2023 in the award-winning Sibson Building on the Canterbury campus of the University of Kent. I bet Wayne's nodded off now. Bringing together over 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics...
Your phone won't work with my face.
No.
It switched off and I can't do anything about it because it won't do my face.
It's 1301.
Okay.
Bringing together over 300 businesses. You now know the number for all my credit cards.
Yeah.
Bringing together over 300 businesses, key policymakers, and leading academics. Roland's making his way over to my handbag now. The sixth annual summit will focus on the latest news from key projects and leading expert keynote speakers from across the county, alongside Q&A and debate on topic. You're fascinated by my phone now.
Come on, get on with it. I want to talk to Roland. You've been reading this same email for 12 minutes.
I keep seeing you craning over my phone with horror on your face, alongside Q&A and debate on topics including productivity, sustainability, placemaking and skills. To celebrate the summit being back in its January slot for 2023, we're offering an early bird discount for anyone who signs up for the event over the coming months. Full details, www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. There we are, beautifully read.
I've just transferred some money from your bank account. I hope that's all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Was it from Sabadell or...
What?
Revolut or Sabadell?
No, Lloyd's.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Nothing in that one. That's just Gavin's joint one. That's fine.
Well, all right. Okay.
Yeah. He won't mind.
Okay.
As it's you.
Cool. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back at last, and we've been so remiss at not inviting...
5 years. You should have paid David Bowie 5 years.
Yeah, I should have done, really, shouldn't I? We've been so remiss at not inviting Roland back. I don't know how we've managed to do that, but he's here at last, and it's a pleasure to welcome Roland Stanley of Dragon Co-Working. Roland, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. Yeah, it's great to be back. Say 5 years. That's fun.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. He sold his hotel now.
Yeah. We'll cover that in a minute. I just want to check something, because people quite often ask me how long we've been here, because we've had studios all over the place. The last time you were on, were you in this studio?
No, different studio.
Romney Marsh, or the other one? Was it the other one in Ashford or Romney Marsh?
So long ago, I can't remember.
Well, was there a porcupine attached to your leg as you came in?
I don't remember that part.
No, I think it was the other Ashford studio.
I think it was, yeah. Which is just down the road.
Yeah, anyway. That puts a nice sighter on it for us. So we haven't been here 5 years yet.
No.
I didn't think we had. Cool. Roland, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. As we were saying before the show, the last time you were on, you'd literally just in the process of launching Dragon Co-Working. Just very quickly give us a snapshot of that again. You know, what inspired you to do it? What was there before? And then we'll go on what you've achieved since then, because you've done an awful lot since then.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I mean, it was 5 years ago. It all started with an empty space.
Right.
We had this space within the hotel building, St. George Hotel in Chatham, that we didn't know what to do with.
Right.
And I think it was somebody, Ash Lawrence mentioned to me about co-working, and he said, have you heard about it? I said, I've never heard about it, don't know anything about it, what are you talking about? So anyway, did a bit of researching, came down to see you down at Fruitworks,
yeah.
Had a look around, and went up to London, went to saw some really cool space up there, and thought, why is nobody doing this in Medway? It looks great. So from that was sort of, I think that was about May 2017. We literally threw the space together, about 3,000 square foot of space, got it opened in the first week of July. Managed to sell all the offices in advance of the opening. Literally, I sold the offices as marked out on the floor with pieces of duct tape. I was trying to sell the dream to people, and we opened up. And then
very persuasive, you know.
Yeah. Literally duct tape on the floor, and sold them some office space. And we started up, and I sat on my own for a couple of weeks, completely empty. Nobody came in, and I gave away a load of memberships away to some friends and family and people I'd met me through networking, and that's how it all started.
Right. And as you said, you had some empty space in the hotel that you owned and were running at the time. I know that you kind of moved away from the hotel business personally and have gone into this full time, so just explain how that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in a hotel industry for 24 years, and I thought, I need a break from this.
Because it was your granddad's,
that's right,
it?
Yes, it was my granddad's
and
business.
Then your father's,
That's right, yes. And he built it back in the 1960s, and I joined in the mid 90s, intending to help my dad out for a couple of weeks,
because your background's a chef.
That's handy
in a hotel. What kind of chefing?
Any sort of chefing, really. Yeah, anything. I did do...
Get into pastry or...?
Not pastry, seafood. Did a lot of seafood back in... I worked in France for a small amount of time.
Oh, I love seafood.
And yeah, so I just joined the hotel just to help my dad out for a couple of weeks, and ended up staying 23 years.
This is like Michelle Rue Jr. I've interviewed Michelle Rue Jr. and that's how he ended up. He was with his dad for a couple of weeks when somebody was off, and now his daughter, of course, is running at Le Gavroche.
Yeah, sounds familiar. Yeah.
So you had the hotel, you were working in the hotel industry, looking after a family hotel. You had this space that you thought, I don't know, what do I do with that? And then you chose to do, do you refer to it as hot desking, or it's just community workspace?
Co-working is what we refer to.
Yeah. So was it the ballroom?
He polishes the ballroom still.
But I didn't know if he polished it for the co-work.
No, they don't get a polished floor.
So it's a big hotel then, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
With grounds?
No, it's a city centre hotel.
Okay.
But
parking?
Parking, yeah, we've got parking.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, multiple car parks, which is good. But we had this space that was, I mean, it was used for a line dancing club.
Oh, wow.
It was used for various different uses over the years. Then before the co-working, it was used for a company used to make wiring looms for big jets.
Right.
For BAE systems.
How bizarre. That's a bizarre use.
It's long, thin rooms. I think it's probably great for really long wiring looms.
Yeah. You can stretch them out. Yeah.
For BAE, did you say?
For BAE systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, up in Rochester Airport.
Okay, so something to do with the airplanes, I'm guessing.
BAE systems are one of the biggest companies in the world.
What is it, Aero?
They build all kinds of things, from nuclear submarines to aircraft to weapons. Yeah.
Oh. I was just reading, I met a guy from Denmark who works with the Denmark government, and they've bought some of our submarines.
Yeah. Recently. Well, most of our submarines are built by BAE systems in Barrow.
Up north.
They build nuclear submarines.
Because, of course, Denmark are a bit worried about the Russian war, I guess.
Absolutely.
They're close.
Anyway, coming back to Roland, and they're not worried about a Russian invasion in Medway Towns so far. No. So you established Dragon Co-working. Tell us how that's progressed in the 5 years since you set it up, because you've done so much there.
Yeah.
And you've had so many things going on there.
We have, so we started up. I mean, that first year was a big learning curve, and it was always just like a little thing we sort of did. I literally worked there. I was like a part-time job, my Saturday morning job of running the co-working space, and because I was still running the hotel full-time at then. So that first year was a massive learning curve. I learned what it's really about. It's not about the desks and the coffee machines and everything. It's all about the members and looking after those guys. And, it just took a year to sort of really work out what we did. Everything was going really well. We was getting lots of new members. We was completely full. We've always concentrated on really looking after our members. We do lots of members' events.
We do
lots of perks, and we always
give them food and all kinds.
We do. We've learned. I mean, we've always tried to put on these like great events and do these things for our members, but give away a free pizza. That's it. You've got to do is keep people having free
pizza and a beer, and they'll do anything.
And they'll do anything. So we've learned that over the years. And then in sort of, we was doing really well. And just before 2019, we decided to expand. So we converted an old Masonic temple within the hotel.
Wow. You had a temple in the hotel?
Yeah, an old Masonic temple.
They had some bizarre stuff hanging around in that hotel.
We did, yeah.
Wow.
So we converted that. And,
so this must be huge, this hotel.
It's pretty big, yeah. It's about 60,000 square foot of space in total. So it's a big old building.
Yeah.
Best to just open a private hospital, I think, the way things go. Anyway, carry on. Yours sounds more fun.
Yeah, then we sort of, beginning of 2020, everything was going really well. We just about started converting this building, and obviously lockdown happens. Mm. Which was, I mean, to be honest, it was a massive opportunity for us.
Yeah.
And, everything going well, we had to shut down for about 6 weeks while we sort of worked out how we was going to make it all work.
Yeah.
But it was a huge opportunity. And looking back now, it's something that really cemented our community and sort of brought everybody together. And we did these great community. Every day we sort of had a half an hour catch up. Then on a Friday, we sort of did an event. So we did things like we got Z-list celebrities come along and do like a Zoom chat with us and things like that. We did like a campfire, so we sent everybody out little candles and marshmallows, and we did lots of little things like that that really helped build that community. And it's something that's really stuck since, that we're sort of like a solid sort of thing in people's lives now. Whatever's going on in the world, co-working space is always going to be there. You know, you're going to get a friendly face, a nice place to work, great coffee. You know, we're just there, always there for our members.
Absolutely.
Plus it helped us, you know, when we was building a new bit, we was cutting holes in window in roofs and knocking down walls, so that was really good. Plus again, it really helped educate the market, you know. Everybody's working differently now, and you know, that's really helped. I mean, there were some people come up to me and said, "I bet you're really gutted that it's the end of the office now." And I said, "Well, no, I'm sure. I think people are going to come back. They're going to come back to the right sort of office." And
You're absolutely right. There is no shadow of a doubt about it that the kind of things you're offering, as we heard from William from Maidstone Council earlier, it's what people want.
Yeah,
yeah, more than ever. Yeah, it's actually you've hit it just right, not just wrong. Because people don't want long-term leases on big office. It's, you know, they want easy in, easy out. And as you say, and it's really hard for people that don't know Dragon, it's really hard to paint the picture of this. It really is a massive community. Everybody there, all the businesses there, support each other, talk to each other. There's just so much going on. It's like Coronation Street, basically, is what it's like. Yeah, it's like the Rover's return at Coronation Street, where everybody congregates and does stuff. So lots of
networking and mind blasting things as they you know mingle at times.
Yeah, they had some interesting events with F Off Friday and stuff for a while, which was a bit of a laugh. I want to come back to the Masonic Temple, though. What happened with that? Because you were about to do something with that when the lockdown started?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so we were literally, we'd already, we'd got the funding in place, we borrowed the money, and we'd literally just started ripping out the space to start converting it to, I think it's 12 more offices, and more open desk space and meeting rooms. Mm. And then, lockdown happened. Right. So, I mean, it was a big, literally concrete box. So we had to put windows in, but we had planning restrictions so we could only put them in certain places. Mm. But we started it, and we were really hoping that people were actually going to come back.
Right.
back. But also it really helped us, you know, we adapted the space, you know, adapted the design. So we put in more little Zoom spaces. We put in more phone booths, you know, because, of course, we knew everybody when they came back. As long as they did come back, there's going to be on Zooming and more phone calls and those sort of things. Mm. So you
went ahead with it anyway, despite the thing. And is it fully open now? Is it fully?
Yeah, 100% fully open. We opened up officially in towards the end of 2020, but actually fully sort of beginning of 21.
Right,
for the new space or new area.
And is it incorporated? I haven't been over for a while, so you don't realise how long it's been since you've done things because of the lockdown.
Husband did his first conference a week ago, and he came back. He was absolutely exhausted.
Yeah.
He went off at 5:30 and did his thing and had a dinner and, you know, got back at 11 at night. He said, I'm absolutely... He used to do that every day, every day for 25 years, commute into London.
Well, I've been to loads and loads of things at Dragon, and then I suddenly realised I haven't been over there for about 18 months, 2 years, because, you know, you couldn't. So I don't know... Is it incorporated into what was existing?
Yes, it is. Yes.
So do you still do a funny handshake as you go in? Or?
We should do, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Keep it all going, a little apron.
The new area is called the Dragon's Temple.
Oh, is it?
We've incorporated a few bits in there. So it's like
a bit of Indiana Jones there, isn't it? Yeah. If you're not quick enough, you get chased by a large stone bull.
What kind of businesses have you got there then?
Oh, do you know what? It's
where to start?
A real different mix. I mean, originally it's really digital creative, you know, freelancers. Mm. But now we've got so many different... I mean, we've got traditional, so we've got like the solicitors, we've got, you know, the bookkeepers, accountants, those sort of guys. Then we've got people that do things like... Well, with a guy just last week, he's a musician or composer. Mm. And he came in and we started talking to him, getting to know him, what he did, because he hadn't been a member that long. And he turns out he wrote the Queen's Platinum Jubilee the song that got sung in all the churches. And then he's written a tune that's on TikTok, and he's had 9 billion streams on it. Wow. So so we've got all our traditional guys, and we've got guys
so
like
what,
that.
He's not using it as a sound studio.
He sits there, he's just at his computer, and he's got his little keyboard playing away, and he does the editing there and things like that. Wow. So, and then all in between the different people ways money. We've got a lady who's doing like NFTs at the moment, and different sort of crypto and digital things like that. And there's just so many ways that people make money now, and it's amazing.
Mm, absolutely. So how much space have you got in total now, Roland?
It's just under 7,000 square foot space.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Have you kind of fully recovered from the lockdowns in terms of membership?
Completely fully recovered now, and it's been interesting. It's been a bit it's up and down. The beauty of our sort of model is it's super flexible for people, so they can as a need, they can get an office space, and it's only a 60-day term. So people can say if they're not busy, they can just go back to hot desks and things like that. We've been really busy, and all of a sudden this year, in the last couple of months, it's been like a light switch flicked on, and people are just ready to get back to work. Larger businesses as well, we've noticed now are buying co-working memberships for their local employees. I think the cost of living has really impacted that as well.
Absolutely.
Where suddenly people thought, they were happy to work at home, then all of a sudden they thought, hey, do you know what, my boss is doing really well out of this. He's not paying for an office, he's not paying for my tea and coffee, he's not paying me a ball or kettle. So they've gone back to their
with the energy prices going up, if you're at home it can be very cold.
And of course one of the big things is that people don't particularly want to work at home. What they want to do is not commute.
Exactly.
So if you can work in a community like Dragon Co-working, if you live in Medway, why wouldn't you work there rather than stuck in your back bedroom, with the dog annoying you outside, wanting to go for a walk, you can avoid commuting, but
have the community
and have the community spirit as well.
And leave the washing behind. I know my son, who works for Stripe, Shay, they pay for him. He's got an office in London, in the city, but they pay for him to go to hot working places as well, which I think is really a good idea.
Definitely.
There's all kinds of models for this, because Roland and I were talking about some of the big places in London that charge a fortune for their desks. I mean, absolute fortune. They charge per month what we charge a year. But then big corporates, big multinationals, they'll buy a membership for someone that flies in from LA, wants 2 or 3 days working in London, and then he'll fly out to Copenhagen or Sydney or Singapore and do the same there. So they buy those kind of memberships on that basis, because they have executives flying around the world.
And so then they don't need the expensive offices in the city.
Exactly.
I think it's what people are working out as well. Employers are really working out is that if they want to attract the top staff, if they want to retain their staff, they've got to provide a great place for them to work, a real experience. And that's the one thing we really want to try and do, is actually give people a great experience. That's what we're all about. It's giving people a great experience when they come to work, that they want to come there. We've got quite a few larger companies now working with us. I say large, like 7 or 8 employees. Part of the retention plan is to stay with place in the co-working space, because it just gives a great environment for them.
So I haven't seen your gaff, but if they're 8 or 9 people, are they in their own little pod or something?
Yeah, so we've got like private offices.
Offices within an office.
So you've got private offices in the offices. Then we have a lot of hot desking, which is the open desk space. And then we have like things called fixed desk, where people have their own private desk. They just keep that sort of desk space. And it's, one of the things, so we're sort of really, really love building the community. And that's what we're all about, is actually building. That's our strongest point. And there's a lot of co-working spaces say they have community. But it's something that's really, really difficult to build. And, it's one thing we have been sort of really concentrated on from the start.
Absolutely. Last time I was there, you had these kind of single-person wooden pods, and you were sat in one as well the last time
Woodland.
I was there.
Wooden.
That's
it, thought you said Woodland. Have you
still got those?
Yes, they're called everything from pig pens to stables. We've still got those, yes. Yeah, they're sort of like an in-between an open desk and a private office, so you can secure it and leave all your stuff all there.
Nice. So you can leave your biscuits up, and nobody nabs
them. That's it, no one nabs them. Well, maybe.
Have you got a meeting room or anything?
Yeah, we've only got the one meeting space at the moment for 6 people. Sounds good. But that's super popular.
Yeah.
You know, with our members plus people coming in from outside as well.
Mm. And of course, if you've got a client or something you want to talk to, that's useful.
And of course, you have got the benefit of the fact that you're at the back. You're attached to the back of the hotel.
Yeah.
So you can kind of just wander into the bar or areas within the hotel.
That's it. Yeah.
Or stay the night.
Yeah. We're a bit of a, do you know, when people come in for the first time, we always meet them at the hotel reception because we're a bit of a, do you know the old prohibition bars you used to find in like New York?
Yeah, hidden sort of in the back.
We're a bit like a prohibition
They open a little slot and go, what's the password?
So we're hidden away at the back there, but we're, you know, so yeah, we have got the hotel facilities as well, larger meeting spaces, plus we're city centre as well. So we work with a lot of local like restaurants and like printing shops and things, and we give them a discount. I mean, they give us a discount of things, and we work with them and try and promote them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've achieved all of this within 5 years in the middle of a pandemic and a lockdown, which is, you know, unbelievable. I mean, the things we've been through as a society over the last 3 years now has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you've grown. You've continued to grow. Oh, she's found the blooming... She's found the interview that she was talking about earlier and posted it. Oh, no, Justin's posted it. You asked about the interview me and Rupert Bear, weren't you? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you see what I mean by Rupert Bear?
Yeah.
Oh, Justin's found it, has he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was my interview with Justin that you muscled in on and never left.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
We were younger then, weren't we?
Well, obviously, yeah. So, you've achieved all this under very trying circumstances, and you've it's just unbelievable what you've done there. And
it'd
how
be
you
nice if your granddad could have said, so proud.
Yeah, yeah. You've put Dragon Co-working and the brand of it and its community front and centre in what goes on, not just in Medway but in Kent, and it's really interesting. Fruitworks and Dragon Co-working were the first couple of spaces really in Kent. Now there's dozens and dozens and dozens, and that's fine, you know, because there's room for everyone, because there's 144,000 small businesses in Kent, so, and they all need some space to work in, so that's cool. So what are your plans now, Ron? And where, you know, you've done Medway domination. Are we going for global domination? What are we going for next?
No, not quite global domination, I don't think. So Dragon Co-working Rochester, we've got Kim now. She looks after the community.
Right.
She's our community manager. So I'm sort of surplus to requirements a lot of the time now.
Right, like make you redundant.
I try and sneak in there on a daily basis, and she's trying to chase me out, I think.
I've changed the password.
Which is good because I don't need me there. She does a brilliant job of running the space.
Right.
So we are looking for other sites within Kent. I only ever want to be a small sort of boutique operator, so absolutely maximum sort of four sites within Kent. So we're looking at various different options around. You know, we're struggling to find somewhere which sort of fits exactly what we want.
It's difficult, isn't it?
It is.
One of the things that happened to me quite a lot was a lot of councils would contact me and go, "Would you open a co-working space in our town?" I go, "If you can find me the premises, yeah." And they'd offer you some like 1960s office building. I go, "Oh, I really don't want that, thank you. It's not what I want at all." And they go, "Oh, but it'd be perfect." It's not what I want. You know, I mean, I'm sure somebody else might want to do that, but I don't. You know,
they're building some on the Thanet Way, aren't they, on Faversham on the left as you come from Whitstable?
Yeah,
and they're like you say, they're just blocks. There's no character.
No, we're sort of like, it's taken us 5 years to build this brand, you know, so we're very proud. We wouldn't want to devalue the brand by doing something we didn't want to do.
It's
kind of quirky having it in the hotel as well.
It's sort of quirky, and we've sort of really sort of evolved the space over the last 5 years, and it's sort of, you know, I mean, the one thing we do is, like, before we do anything, whether it's building or anything, we always ask if our members are going to love it or not, and you know, that's always like the start of the conversation. So before anything happens in the space, or we do anything, or we change anything, you know, it's Kim and I have a conversation, say, are the members going to love it, yes or no, and then we sort of work it back from there.
It's funny because one of my amazing hairdressers, Mariana, who was on the Business Bunk a few years back, had Flo & Co. in Whitstable, so it was a very, very upmarket hairdressers, London, you know, quality. And he sold the business, and a lot of his staff went off and, you know, started up their own business in a shed in the garden or whatever. And Christopher, one of his top stylists, told me he was going to rent a chair. And I sort of thought, ooh, you know, he's not like that. I don't think I'll go to rent a chair. But I went to his place, and it's, trying to think where it is. It's Monk's Hill Farm, which is overlooking the estuary and, you know, near Faversham. Mm. And it's this beautiful place. It's really funky, modern. He shares with another hairdresser, but it's an artistic space. Great big windows opening out onto this, you know, there's ostriches going around and peacocks and things, and it's just lovely. But the way he said it, rent a chair, just didn't sell it. But it is beautiful. Mm. You know,
it's interesting how co-working has come into its own. You know, it's an idea that's been around about 15-20 years, like a lot of new innovations started in California with the tech industries, but it's much more than that now. And it's strange how it's kind of all coalesced into satisfying a need that we didn't really always know that was going to be there, but turned up anyway, you know, thanks to some bats in Wuhan. And
yeah, I mean, it used to be, I mean, you know, we're called Dragon Co-working purposely because the co-working part is really important to us. Yeah. Although we have offices, we're not a service office provider, we're a hospitality provider.
Yeah.
And the co-working part, you know, is the bit that just signifies the community for me. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it's starting. It's, like I say, COVID has been great at educating the market for us. Yeah. Really has been educating the market. And people are still trying to work out, I think, and businesses are trying to work out how they're going to work in the future. So co-working, I think, is going to be a big part, or will be a big part of that. You know,
absolutely. I think the major thing that everybody's learnt is that the key is flexibility. Mm. Yeah, because you never know what's going to happen next. So therefore, you know, as I was talking to William, you know, my head office in Maidstone, I had a 20-year lease on that. There's absolutely no way I'd sign a 20-year lease on anything under any circumstances. It just ain't going to happen because, you know, things are just so fluid now. Mm. You never know what's going to happen next. I'm thinking of maybe, you know, some shared space nuclear bunkers.
Yeah. Well, we dug our pond. It's very deep, and I said to my husband, you know, we could dive in there should Russia go bananas.
Yeah.
But what do you think is going to happen with the big office blocks in the centre of London? Do you think a lot of them are going to sort of make it multi-use and turn it some into accommodation and some into offices and retail? Yeah. Or?
I mean, it's London's a sort of is a completely different animal to
But if you talk about the commuters, people not. I mean, Paul nailed it when he said that people don't want to commute. It's not the office; it's the actual 2 hour, 1.5 hours trains delayed. But, think of it in winter.
Yeah. But city offices, Roland's right. City offices are a completely different animal. I mean, if they were being sensible, they wouldn't even have been there in the first place. You know, the cost of office space in Canary Wharf, for instance, is horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrendous.
Yeah.
You're only there because you've got more money than sense and you want to be in Canary Wharf, if you see what I mean. Yeah. So the people there are huge banks that can afford to spend millions and millions and millions of pounds a year.
I think they're going to have to rethink, especially with the energy thing. Like, you know, their lights are on all night, blaring away. Aren't they going to have to rethink having these, if people are hot desking or working from home, flexi working?
From a city office space point of view, I think they've been changing anyway, and their model is hot desking within their own companies. Yeah, they've done away with offices. You know, when I worked in the city as a senior executive, you got your own office.
Yeah.
You don't have any of that now. It's all hot desks, and you don't even get your own desk. You know, you share the desks or whatever. I think if you come out of the city into other towns and smaller cities around the country, then I think you've got a point. You know, a lot of those office blocks are going to end up as domestic places or, you know, multi-use type places.
I mean, I came back from a conference a couple of weeks ago up in London with a lot of other co-working space operators, and they're all full. they're all absolutely rammed in London, and they can't convert it quick enough. Yeah. And a lot of them are working with landlords. So landlords in larger buildings, they're doing co-working flex space on a couple of floors, and acting as feeders for their larger offices that they can then sell them once the businesses grow. Mm. So, and having the right office as well. Again, we come back to that, you know, that if people want to attract the top talent and the best employees and retain them, they need to give an experience. You can't just do a really boring office anymore. There's got to be a reason for people to go into that London, and if they, you know, and if they to keep them there.
Yeah. I remember Softcat, when Shays first started his first job as a graduate, they had it was voted the best place to work as an experienced Softcat, and they had little go-karts whizzing around in the corridors. A young kid of 23 or 4 loved that.
That's more the kind of thing that will happen, is they won't bin the space, they'll just do odd things with the space. And also, it hasn't impacted the flexibility, because more and more people work from home. But you've got this hybrid way of working. Right? You'll work from home 2 days a week. You'll come into the office 1 day a week. You'll go to a client site 1 day a week. It's everything is about flexibility and being as flexible as you can. You know, in terms of energy costs of buildings, I mean, you've got massive data centres. You know, if you think leaving the lights on is a problem, try running a data centre. You know, I mean, they just suck electricity out of the air. You know, it's all three-phase power for a start. God knows what they're paying in
so what does the data centre do? Collect data?
Well, no, it's where all your major servers and computers are housed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, they are incredibly heavy users of power. But out here in the sticks of Medway and Canterbury and Maidstone and Ashford and all these other places. Oh, the other thing I just wanted to say, because I was at Edenwood Hive, which is a small co-working space in Bluebell Hill. And it used to be a restaurant many years ago, quite a well-known restaurant called Kit's Coty Restaurant. And it turns out that Roland was a chef there for a little while.
Oh, I was, yes.
Do you still cook?
As little as possible. I try and avoid it. Actually, it wasn't never my passion.
So you just went into it because of the family business?
I didn't know what else to do. I wasn't great at school. So then, it was either pre-catering or car mechanics. Catering seemed to appeal to me more.
So you don't cook to relax at home or anything? It's not your thing?
No, not my thing, definitely not. No, I do it occasionally. You know, give my wife a rest sometimes, and she, you know, do that, and do Christmas, you know, do all those sort of things. Do the big occasions. Take the glory.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Roland, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We're not going to leave it 5 years before we invite you back, because you're doing such fabulous and great things. Give us a shout out for your website so people can find out not just about the space, but about the kind of events and community that you got going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. Just dragoncoworking.co.uk. Of course, you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, under Dragon Coworking.
Right. Fantastic. Roland, thank you so much for that. It's been a pleasure to catch up with you. Keep on keeping on with what you're doing. You're doing a fabulous job supporting Medway. And if any landlords out there have got interesting buildings that they want to talk about, then give Roland a shout.
Definitely,
you never know.
Never know.
Cool. Thank you so much for that. We're almost at the end of the show. I've had a tweet from DG East. And they say, hi, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. Please give a shout out to a busy sponsor finally getting some vehicles released from the factory.
Wow, that's taken him a long
Guess
time.
Guess whose?
Guess whose?
Whose vehicle is finally being released?
Oh, yours?
Mine, yes.
How many years? Two?
We ordered it at the beginning of the year.
That's what
for
I mean.
Delivery in October.
Yeah.
And they were saying, oh, we're never going to make October now.
Is it the chips? Still,
yeah, and they're German cars and German industries down the tubes. I mean, the German
Germans used to be so efficient.
The German industrial base has collapsed completely. It's collapsed completely.
It's bizarre.
Well, it's energy costs. It's all the other things that they were warned about over years and years and years.
I've
caught up with them.
My new husband about this, because of course we could get oil from Africa.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the infrastructure's not there, to get it. Yeah. But
we could get oil from Kent.
Well, we could, but also Saudi and
gold. No, but you don't. I'm not getting into an argument about this. Yeah. Nuclear is my answer. But if you want oil and gas, we've got more. Great Britain is an island built on oil, gas, and coal. You know, it's all there. It's if bonkers. You want it, you don't have to go halfway around the world to extract it and drag it back here. Mm. if you want it. Anyway, the government have now issued a load of new drilling licences for here in the UK.
So is that fracking as well? I don't even know what fracking is. That's the same thing. Because there's a load of people up in arms about fracking.
Fracking is just, it's basically you extracting stuff from the ground using high pressure water. It's what they used in mining for years to expose coal mine seams. It's not a new technology. It's been around for donkey's years. A lot of people kind of says it contaminates the water supply or it causes earthquakes or whatever, but it doesn't. It's not the greatest technology in the world. It's pretty robust stuff. But for me, I mean, the answer was always nuclear, and it still is as far as I'm concerned. And now Rolls-Royce, for instance, are building small nuclear reactors, SMRs. We just need that. It takes,
how long does it take to build them?
They're built in a factory and delivered to the site. It's 4 years from commission to
Have you
to
noticed they're drip feeding now about power cuts? They've been doing it for about 3 months and offering people £10 to only use stuff at night. It's just, if they've got that money to offer, I was saying to the new husband, they've got that money to give people £10, why can't they just lower everybody's prices?
But this is a failure of politics over 20, 25 years, which shows you why our politics never work, is that there's no long-term strategy ever worked out. There's videos of Nick Clegg and Ed Davey when they were in government in coalition with the Tories telling us glibly that there's no point in building a nuclear power. This is in 2010. There's no point building a nuclear power station because it wouldn't be ready until 2020. Well, guess what?
Yeah, here we are.
Here we are, and it should have been here and it isn't, which is why, for me, the answer is SMRs. An SMR is a modular reactor. Rolls-Royce have been building them for years. It's what they use in nuclear submarines. So it's a sealed nuclear reactor. They build it in a factory, deliver it to a site. It takes 4 years from design to fully operational, which is a fraction of the time of a big nuclear power plant. And an average SMR will power 1 million homes.
It's bonkers. I can't believe that Germany are so, they used to be so efficient. It's very odd.
Yeah, but they were hijacked by the Greens again, weren't they? They shut all their nuclear power plants, and they've had to go back to using lignite, for goodness sake, brown coal, the worst possible thing that you could possibly use. You shouldn't really laugh at the Germans, but you got to sometimes. They actually paid South Africa $810 million to not mine coal. Okay?
You're joking.
No, they paid them to not mine coal. Last week, they rang South Africa and said, could you mine some coal and send it to us, please? And South Africa went, it cost you $2 billion. And they went, okay.
Yes,
because now the world is back working on coal, which is the worst environmental product to use because we've failed to plan.
On a couple of shows, Roland, I've just bought a very small solar generator with a few plug-ins and a battery. And it was about 300 and something. It wasn't that expensive, but at least I've got enough for a laptop and a phone. Because I truly believe we all have power cuts.
Yeah, good plan. Get ready.
And for a hotel, maybe look at a generator. Yeah. Have you got any solar on your roof?
No.
Have you got a south-facing roof?
No, not really, no.
I've just applied and they are inundated.
I bet they are now.
There's a Kent company and he said it will be, this was about 3 months ago, he said it will be months before
But again, they're looking at, Greenpeace are getting up in arms because the government has said they're not going to allow any more solar farms on agricultural land. But again, it's part of the dumbness of this whole energy failure from every side.
Yeah.
You don't have to put solar panels on a lump of grass.
No, put it on roofs.
Well, think existing about it. Bob Beattie made this point the other day.
Yeah.
Go on Google Earth and look downwards at...
schools?
No. At Blue Water.
Oh, yeah,
There's acres and acres and acres of empty roof space. You could put enough solar panels on that to power the whole of the southeast of
but
England.
But we had a housing developer on recently, and that's not what that costs them money. Whereas putting it on wildland makes them money.
Exactly.
And they only last 20, 25 years. It's exactly. a money-making thing, but putting them on roofs, that's why new builds don't have them.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know...
But it needs to change.
It certainly does. Have you got anything that urgently needs reading? Because we've got 3 minutes left.
Yeah, well, there is a...
Your phone's nearly charged. I've no idea. You've had thousands of notifications, but I can't read them.
Why?
Oh, because I forgot what your pin was. Don't tell me again.
Hythe-based specialist manufacturer HV Wooding has secured a new business and is investing in new production capabilities as a result of a research collaboration with the nuclear... AMRC, Kent-based HV Wooding, which specialises in precision-engineered metal components for the automotive and aerospace sectors, tying in nicely with what we've been chatting about, work with materials and engineering researchers from the nuclear AMRC and other parts of the University of Sheffield to improve the quality of its buzz bars. What's a buzz bar?
It's an electrical connection.
Buzz bars are insulated metal strips which carry high current power between different parts of an electrical system. The project, supported by Innovate UK through the Faraday Battery Challenge, aimed to develop a new powder coating process to improve the quality and performance of buzz bars for the fast-growing electric vehicle market. That's my word of the week, buzz bar.
Buzz bars.
Yeah, I like that.
Wasn't there a song about that? Rock the buzz bar. Oh no, it was Rock the Casbah, wasn't it? Yeah.
Gone all Moroccan now.
Absolutely. Your phone's going ting ting ting.
Oh, that does it all the time. Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
I'm just irresistible, Paul Andrews.
Something like that. Yeah.
You know I'm not here next week.
Yeah, I know. Warfield's
eye damage. Why did my appointments come on a Tuesday?
They're trying to get you off air, aren't they?
Yeah, obviously.
I rang them up and went, can you make it a Tuesday, please?
Yeah, 2:15.
I'm not sure who's going to co-host next week. We shall find out shortly.
Get Roland in. He's lovely.
Do you think so? Yeah.
He won't mind.
Cool. We've kind of reached the end of another show, fairly much, just about.
Well, it's 14:57.
58.
Oh, your clock's different to mine.
No, it's not. I'm just lying. It's 10 seconds away from 58.
I was going to say, for our American listeners, like Nurse Liz, Chatham and Rochester, where Roland hails from with his hotel, is a really lovely area. It's by the river. So you have to envisage it, sort of ye old Victorian houses and lovely winding River Thames.
It's Dickensian. It's Rochester. It's Dickens country.
Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
Ye old
Charles Dickens. That's what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Very quickly, Faversham, October the 27th. Join us at the Raj on Thursday, the 27th of October, for a night of networking. For £30, you secure your seat and entitle you to a curry and rice dish of your choice, a selection of breads and a drink. Don't miss out what is one local to you. Seats for this one are going fast. caneandco.co.uk/curryandco is the website to book your networking ticket.
Maybe the rice is from Valencia. Paddy Fields. Be.
Well, if it was local, it would be Faversham Paddy Fields.
Yeah, why don't they have? They could have it on the marshes, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
We don't grow rice in this country, do we? I've never seen it. I don't know why. You'd have thought the marsh would have been quite good for that.
Yeah, I've got a little jar of pistachios for my journey home, see?
Pistachios?
Yeah, just a little something to nibble.
Anyway, we've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to my fantastic guest.
Roland.
No, Mr. William Connell of Maeson Borough Council. Tim Sutton of CPR Recruitment.
Even better.
To Roland Stanley of the world-famous Dragon Co-working.
Dickensian Roland.
To my stunkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Sirkin. A thank you to everybody that joined in with the show with tweets, emails and everything. We'll be back with another show next week without Jules. We wish her well. We'll see you next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody. And bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.